Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk Fort Worth, hosted by yours truly, Gary Hines. Tonight, we're going to ask you to click tag share, tell someone Let's Talk Fort Worth is on the air, and we're about to talk to six of the candidates running for city council seats here in Fort Worth. We're going to talk to Kelly Allen Gray. She's the incumbent in District 8. Bob Willoughby, a candidate for District 5. Martavia James, a candidate for District 5 as well. We don't see Tanya Carter on the line, but she is supposed to be one of our panelists as well. She's running in District 3. Irving Thomas, he's running in District 7. And Fernando Peralta, he's running in District 9. A reminder, if you're not registered to vote, you must be registered by April 1st in order to vote in the May 1st election. To vote by mail, you must be registered by April 20th. Early voting begins April 19th, and it runs through the 27th. Election Day, we all know, is May 1st. On Election Day, let's take someone to the polls with us. Let's make this city election like no other. With that out of the way, y'all, the rules of engagement for tonight are this. Panelists, please make your answers, if at all possible, 3 minutes or less. And if you're at home and you have a question or a comment, we're going to ask you to call in tonight at 516-315-3030. 387-1981 and then press 1. But we're going to ask you to hold out just a minute, and I'm going to ask my panelists if they would all press 1 now so that I can easily find you on the board. Again, if you're a panelist on tonight's show, if I just call your name, please press 1, and that will let me know that you're supposed to be one of the panelists for tonight. All right, y'all, listen, this is going to be a good show, y'all. Let me open the phone line. One final note, do not try to listen via your computer and your phone. If you're a panelist tonight, do not try to listen via the phone and the internet. It will give an echo, and so it will confuse you with your answers because it will give a kickback. So if you're a panelist tonight, or if you're a caller, we ask that you mute your computer and listen to us by phone only. All right, y'all, let me open these phone lines. I'm so excited to speak with these people tonight. Let's see, who do we see first on the board? I see Mr. Irving. I'm going to open your phone line, sir. Let's see if we can do that. Okay, Mr. Irving, can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Kelly, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. We see Bob Willoughby on the phone. I can hear you. Bob Willoughby, can you hear me? Bob Willoughby, can you hear me? Okay. We're going to
Fernando. Oh, now can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can. Fernando, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Martasia, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. It's Martasia.
Okay. I do not see Tanya Carter on the line. Ms. Carter, if you are on the phone lines, if you would press 1 now so that I can find you on the board. And I do apologize to my panel. I gave out the wrong number. I was still giving out the number for Bob Willoughby's forum, and I apologize. And at the last minute, I did recognize that I'd given out the wrong number, and I did attempt to reach every person at the last minute, and I do apologize. And at least 5 of you all did catch it, and I apologize, Ms. Carter, if I did not reach out to you in time for you to get it, but I did try via your Facebook and via your cell number, so I apologize. Okay, y'all, let's get started. First of all, as I said, Ms. Gray is going to be with us only in the first hour. So we're going to double up on some of the questions we're going to ask her in the first hour. Okay? So that said, Ms. Gray, you're going to get the first question. You have been the city council person for District 8 for a while. That said, 76104 was said to be a zip code in which they had the lowest life expectancy in the state of Texas. That said, have you done anything to address that? And if so, tell us what you have done.
So thank you, Carrie, for having me. And I've been the council member since 2012. The dissertation that was written by the UT Southwestern doctoral student actually came out in 2019. Okay. And so the city of Fort Worth does not do public health, which life expectancy is a public health issue. And what we did as that report came out, and even though there are still some concerns around the report, we started doing the creation of different food pantries in within that 76104 zip code. And I really don't like to call it the zip code because people don't live in zip codes. They live in neighborhoods. So it's mm-hmm. Historic Southside, it's Hillside, it's Morningside. It's Ash Crescent that make up the neighborhoods from that study. And so just as the pandemic was hit, there was a plan to actually start doing some different type of clinics in partnership with JPS partners, and then the pandemic hit. So what we started doing during the pandemic, what I started doing, was doing food deliveries to our seniors, continued the creation of food pantries within those communities, within those neighborhoods. And then this Saturday, tomorrow, we're actually doing a Mercy Clinic pop-up. So it is a health and hunger pop-up from 10 to 1 at Evans Plaza. And we're doing it in partnership with Mercy Clinic, which is actually a free clinic that is located on the campus of Travis Avenue Baptist Church, Tarrant Area Food Bank, several different doctors, United Way, Dr. Marie Holliday, Commissioner Roy Brooks, and JPS, and then several other community partners. So that's what we have started doing in this past year to address some of the issues that came out of that doctoral dissertation.
Okay. Fair answer. Bob Willoughby, you're running in District 5. You've ran quite a few times. Can you tell us why you've chosen to run again, and what is the force behind your efforts to keep running?
Okay, can you hear me okay?
I can.
I don't know. Can you hear me?
We can't.
I don't. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't hear myself coming through. I was like, okay. Well, thanks for having us on. Thanks for having this show tonight. And I almost forgot the question there, but I know one part. The four. Okay. Running is that when I start, because of issues, and these issues have never been addressed, and so anyway, that got me involved running with code compliance. Matter of fact, one of the issues that got me running is that I couldn't believe how city council worked once I got familiar with it about 8 years ago, and one of the things that are happening right now with that we have a person that's in Kelly's district, matter of fact, and he's in a wheelchair, and he called me a little over a year ago, said he wouldn't be doing right by code compliance. As we got to investigate, we went out, and the code compliance officers actually ran off the property when they saw we had a camera. A year now, and they will not communicate with us, talk to us or anything. They do have a $5,000 lien against this man's house. The city is sending him bills every month for $400. He's in a wheelchair. He can't work. He can't pay his rent. Padlock. Property when I got in, when I just got, that's when he called me, I got involved. They only have one company. Bid. So when they go in and cut the padlock on your property and they bid on a violation, there's no other to contest that bid. It's set. And these people, I think they were called New Era, all the work for Fort Worth, tagged this guy for over $3,000. We're about to rip him off, actually, and come back to the table. They won't meet with us. So while we got Kelly on the phone, would you please call Code Compliance, Mr. Brandon Bennett, and ask him why would he not at least communicate with us? I would appreciate that. So that's what got me going and keeps me going, as you can see.
Oh, wow. Okay. Martavia James, and by the way, y'all, I watch everything on social media, so if I ask you a question about something I saw on social media, it's because I watch everything. There's no other way I'm going to be informed about how to do this show. Let's say Martavia James, this week I noticed an exchange back and forth with you and another person, and I won't go into what that exchange was about, but I noticed that you said something about you wanted to be the voice for transportation. And you wanted to be the voice for another issue. Can you tell us a little bit, not about the exchange because we don't do that, but we do want to know more about why you said you wanted to be a voice for transportation here in the city. And you mentioned something else, and I can't find my notes on it. I do apologize. I guess scrambling to tell all y'all the right phone number at the last minute has got me a little frazzled. But I remember the exchange, and again, I don't want you to go into any details about the exchange. However, I do want you to tell us more about why you said you wanted to be the voice for transportation here in the city.
I said that I wanted to be the voice for transportation and for the voice of our community. The reason I said that is because a lot of people within the area struggle with getting to and from or figure out how they're going to make their means ends. And a lot of people within the area itself struggle with being aware or made aware of things that's going on within the city, within itself. A lot of the people over here, especially with the COVID taking place, struggle with their transportation, even getting to and from locations to be able to get the vaccine. The reason I said I want to be the voice is because I feel like that is what we're lacking over here in District 5, the voice. I mentioned last night's forum for the City of Fort Worth. A lot of people didn't even know about that. We had other district citizens participating and asking questions or going into the chat rooms to speak with us personally, but you didn't hear anything from District 5 residents, only from people who were already on the board of the City of Fort Worth. And I found that to be a problem because this was a forum that people within the city should have known about, people that's in District 5 should have been made aware about, and that is why I wanted to be the voice for it. It comes with also, as far as grants and stuff over here, bonds and applications that citizens within the area are needing to be able to apply for, but yet they aren't made aware of it, or they don't have the knowledge on how to apply for it. And I do want to be that voice for this community.
Okay. I see that Tanya Carter has joined us. Good evening, Ms. Carter. How are you?
Good evening, Carrie. I'm glad to be on the show this evening.
Well, thank you. I apologize again for the late information on changing the number, but I'm glad you did get it. Listen, since we have you on, question. You appear to be a longtime resident of Lake Como. That said, tell us about some of the issues plaguing your community and how you would address them if elected.
Okay, Carrie, and to the radio listening audience, again, my name is Tanya Carter. Excuse me, and I'm candidate for Fort Worth City Council, District 3. I am a longtime resident of the neighborhood formerly known as Lake Como, Texas. And the reason why I say formerly known as Lake Como, Texas, Como in District 3 is not the same Como that I was raised in, that I grew up in as a child and as a teenager. Reason being, Como is undergoing gentrification. The term gentrification was initially coined in a Como Met meeting. Okay, it is my understanding, I may be jumping a bunny trail, and excuse me, I'm driving as we speak, and I don't have notes before me. It's my understanding that Como was placed back into House District 90, and in doing so, it invited other residents, okay, other individuals into the neighborhood of Como in forms of low-cost housing, single-family or multiple-family unit apart and away from, at that time, of apartment complexes. It is a great concern for me, and I'm going to tell you what I propose to do when or if elected to council. Como, it sits in the middle of vast wealth, old money, all barren money, old retail money, to name a few, Costas, Stripling, Leonard Brothers. I'm going to sum it up because y'all know I can talk. I'm just going to get to the point. All right. My deal is gentrification is fine. Oh, it's all well and good. Okay. As long as it does not profit off the back of the original inhabitants, particularly for me, Como, not limited to Como, but other disenfranchised neighborhoods throughout the city of Fort Worth and the nation. Okay, it is for the development of the city. Okay, and the developers. All right, that's coming in with these block grants. All right, that paint the pictures and make it look all well and good. But when the last contractors to come in,
Ms. Carter,
and they build, yes, ma'am.
Listen, I failed to tell you, I think you came in late. The answer is going to be 3 minutes or less. Mr. Peralta has got to leave us early as well. Okay, and we're going to go to you, Fernando. Good evening. Thank you, Ms. Carter, for your answer. Fernando, you're running in District 9.
Yes, ma'am.
So I understand from you that 64% of your district is Latino. However, the majority of the voting population is Caucasian. That said, if you, a Latino, is voted in that district, how will anything change for your district? What are your plans for your district if elected?
So the population in District 9 is primarily Hispanic or Latino, but the voting, the group that does most of the vote is from our white community. If elected, and when I am elected, let me just put it like that, when I am elected to city council, it's what I'm trying to bring to city council is just diverse perspectives, and not just diverse perspectives when we're talking about race, but also generational diversity, because I belong to a younger generation that's going to be here, hopefully, to set roots here in Fort Worth. So bringing those different perspectives, obviously from our Hispanic community, obviously because I am Hispanic, and bringing those perspectives, life experiences to the conversations, to those decision-making tables, and then also the perspective that I bring being a younger resident here in Fort Worth and wanting to start a family here in Fort Worth and grow and live and play.
Okay. Mr. Irving, mm-hmm. Irving Thomas. Can you tell us what areas are in your district and what are some of the problems plaguing your district and how you plan to address them if elected?
Yes. I go by T. Thomas. Okay. It's very confusing somewhat because it's Irvin and then my nickname is T, but that's okay. I go by anything. I'm from District 7, and District 7 is a kind of unique district because it exists not only in Tarrant County, but also in Denton County. It has a lot of townships that are surrounded by Fort Worth. I live in the Hazlitt area, but there are a lot of other townships, and it's probably the most stretched out of any district because it starts downtown and winds up by the Speedway and 114 in the north. The Alliance Corridor, we have three airports in or around our district, so it's a very challenging district in infrastructure and diversity of people. The population base is very diverse. And what I'm planning to bring when I get on the council is a diversity of thought. And what I mean by diversity of thought is I have about 50-some years of experience of working with various different people in various different situations and bringing out-of-the-box thought processes to solutions. And by doing that, it takes a lot of people talking to each other. So I want to bring other council members together so that we can address similar problems. I know that when I was on last week, District 5 was talking about development issues over there. Well, housing develops. We have not only housing development in the north, but we also have a huge industrial development up here in the Alliance Corridor. So it's a very diverse set of opportunities we have to resolve.
Mm-hmm.
And most of my problems up in this area revolve around roadways and infrastructure of that nature. We also were highly impacted by the water shortage.
Uh-huh.
And so there's just a lot of opportunities that need to be addressed. And in 3 minutes, I can't go into all of them, but I'm just trying to give an overview that we have a lot of diverse problems, and I'm willing to work with whoever I can to bring a consistent thought process so that we can move forward as a unit, not just separate people on a board. So
gotcha.
I think that's the biggest thing that I'm wanting to do.
Okay. Mr. Fernando, seeing that you got to leave us at 8:15. Next question. The bond money is a big issue coming up in 2022. How would you, what would you request a portion of that money for in your district? In District 9, what is needed in your district that you would ask for some of that bond money for?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, in the past, and not even just in District 9, but across the city, it's usually been the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really for that bond money, I mean, obviously, I want to see that money go to areas across our district that need it the most. I mean, there's areas on our south side that don't even have curbs. And also when we're talking about, like, also just, like, infrastructure-wise, our streets, our sidewalks, our sewage. I mean, let's start investing in our communities and our neighborhoods that haven't historically been those who have been the squeakiest in years past. And I think, you know, if we're able to do that, able to bring those voices to be part of this conversation so we can structure this bond in a way that is equitable across our city, and especially across here in District 9, I think that's what I want to see. Obviously, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, you know, this street needs this or this and that, because, again, we have to go back to we want the voices of our community and our neighbors to be heard in decision-making stuff, especially like the bond, because that could easily be used to invest in our communities, in our neighborhoods. So that's what I want to see.
Okay. All right. Next question. Same question to Martesia Jane. The bond money is coming up as an issue on the table next year. What would you ask for some of that bond money for in your district?
Great question. I don't want to make it sound like I'm trying to correct you, but my name is pronounced Martesia.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And, no, you're fine. It's common. The thing is, going around here, we see more of District 5-1 North as being revitalized, new streets, lights, signs. And when you come back over here with East Side of Fort Worth and you in the Stop 6, the Echo Heights area, we don't see that bond money being used or allocated in a good way over here. It's still a lot of things that are needing to be fixed, things that need to be improved on, and that is what I would use the money for. You always see people going up north, the Northeast Mall, or going out to hang out and dine in those areas, but we have good restaurants, good social areas to hang out and everything around here, but yet you don't see that because our area isn't built up, and so I would like to use those bond dollars to help revitalize, restore, and redevelop the District 5 community that is neglected.
Gotcha. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth, hosted by yours truly, Carrie Hines. Tonight we're talking to 6 candidates running for City Council seats here in Fort Worth. We have the incumbent in District 8, Kelly Ellen Gray. We have Bob Willoughby, Irvin Thomas, Martesia James, Tanya Carter in District 3, and Fernando Peralta in District 9. Okay, Tanya Carter, same question. What would you ask for some of that bond money for in the Como area or in any part of your district? Did I lose Ms. Carter? Tanya Carter, same question. Okay, some kind of way we lost Tanya Carter on the call.
We're going to keep moving. Irvin Thomas, same question.
I was muted, so it took me a second. Bond money is always a challenge to make it work equitable to all the citizens.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to do in dealing with bond money is I would like to develop some method of doing private-public partnerships where people or industries that would be positively impacted by the bond money in their area be able to put up some money to support that so that we can spread the money out a little bit farther. And I'm just thinking about in the Alliance Corridor and Meacham Field area, there are a lot of industries that are fed by those airports, and there's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be supported in there as well. But these companies are taking advantage of that infrastructure and not really, other than just a simple tax base, giving back to the city on it. So I would like to see if there's some way that we could work together that when these large trucks use the roadways and damage the roadways, they're somewhat responsible for the repairs. So and I don't know exactly how that would, it's a very challenging thing to make it fit within the rules and regulations of the city, but I believe that there is some way that we could do that so that the citizens aren't taxed with the overuse of these corporations.
Okay. All righty. Bob Willoughby, same question.
Yes. Well, I like bond money. Well, the way I feel about bond money is I'd like to get away from bond money if we could, because what bond money really is actually is a loan with interest. It doesn't sound good when you say we're going to get a loan with interest to pay for sidewalks and streets that do nothing but deteriorate. That doesn't make really good sense. Doesn't sound good. So they call it a bond. Actually, our tax dollars should be replacing all that stuff. That's what it's for, the streets and that. Bond money is great when you use it on projects that can create money. And that's what the city did some years ago with the Rockwood Golf Course back when they were making money. But since then, Rockwood Golf Course has lost millions of dollars. The bond money in 14, $5 million went to them. The bond money in 18, they got $7.5 million more for a clubhouse and stuff. And I just don't see our, you know, that's good. But here's what I would do with bond money, I think. If we got one coming up. One thing, the city right now, well, this will go with it. This will tell it all in the tale. I would want to put something together like Arlington does. They have Six Flags, they have the Cowboys, they have the Rangers, because there's a lot of money there. Children's Amusement Park, east end of Lake Arlington, which is being a dump right now, which is a beautiful area. It has a cemetery up there, and it's a black cemetery. It's not registered. And someone came in and put a lot of money to clean it up and put new railing around it, but now people are going in and stealing that and dumping it. But anyway, this I've been up there many times. We're going to have a meeting next week up there with a friend of mine. It is a beautiful area for a children's amusement park, with a petting zoo and maybe a 1,500-seat amphitheater on the lake. This would make money, providing the city doesn't run it, but we get someone like Six Flags, an organization that does know how to run it with the money, and it would pay back the bond money and make an interest and make a profit for the city. And as far as dividing money, I think it should be divided equally between the districts or whatever, but I'd like for us to get away from bonds. We have three going. I'd like for us to get away from that and be self-sufficient with our own tax dollars, and it's not wasted. I think we can do that. Thank you for that question, Carrie.
Thank you. Kelly, same question.
Will you tell me what the question was, Carrie?
I'm sorry. We're talking about that bond money that's coming up in 2022. And I was asking, what would you ask for some of that bond money for to address issues in your community? In your district. I'm sorry.
So for everyone who is listening, there are parameters that are set for bond dollars. And so could we use them to build a mall or to restaurants or do things like that? No, we cannot. However, so the bond dollars can be spent for infrastructure projects, whether it's street repair,
sidewalks, traffic, you know, the improvement of intersections, traffic signals, community facilities, parks, libraries, things like that. So as I look at the 2022 bond that has not been officially said it is going to come, because we are still in the midst of this pandemic and there's still lost revenue and lots of other things that have to happen in, you know, that's going on in the city. So for me, what is important is to make sure that we continue to bring forward sidewalks and sidewalk improvements. And if you drive up and down Riverside Drive, you'll see right now that sidewalks are going in on Riverside Drive that will literally connect all the way down to 820, because there are schools and there's Goodwill and apartment complexes. And so it's also about connectivity. We closed Sycamore Golf Course last year. It was closing for about 24 months. It was going to be closed to do a sewer line project from Southeast Fort Worth at Berry and Riverside Drive all the way literally to East Fort Worth. And so the decision was made because Sycamore Golf Course floods, is in a flood plain, to close that golf course and to convert it into a park. So I would use those $2022 dollars for that park conversion to add, to make sure that it is actually added completely into the park system to complement Sycamore Park that's across the street, and then Cobb Park, which then connects further south down to Hallmark Camelot. And then I would look at the Meadowbrook Golf Course, because Meadowbrook Golf Course is one of the older golf municipal golf courses in the city. And during this pandemic, we have seen golf rounds of golf increase exponentially, and it has been many a person's saving grace. So I would, and then, you know, those projects are not done haphazardly. They are rolled out to the citizens, and there is a whole process that talks about, you know, what would you like to see on the bond? You know, streets, community streets, neighborhood streets, arterial streets, all of that. So it is a living, breathing document that the citizens are involved in. And then my last thing that I'm going to say, because of the 2014 bond, we have the Reedy Carey Youth Library that is almost completed on East Lancaster, because the community supported the first ever youth library in the city.
Okay. All right. And Ms. Gray, 3 minutes or less next time. I don't want Ms. Carter to think that I'm picking on her. Listen, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. If you have a question or a comment, call in tonight at 515-602-9610, then press 1. Our guests tonight include Kelly Allen Gray, the incumbent in District 8, Martasia? James, District 5, Irvin Thomas, District 7, Bob Willoughby in District 5, Fernando Peralta, he's in District 9, and Tanya Carter is in District 3. We're going to the phone lines. We're going to pick up 404-492. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Hey, Ms. Karen Hines. How you doing?
Fine. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. I got a quick question for, and any one of the candidates can weigh in on this. The crime is very high all over the city. So what are you candidates going to do to try to focus on getting the crime rate down, especially in Fort Worth?
Anybody can weigh in.
I would like to weigh in, if I may. My name is Tanya Carter. I'm candidate, District 3 candidate. What I would propose to do to weigh in on the crime in my particular district would to be create programs that work, that treat the core issues that lead to the propensity of crime, such as the use and sale of drugs, as far as burglary and things of that nature. So what I'm supposed to do would reinvest
monies back into the communities, all right, and put those monies in the hands of small or you know, ma and pop, maybe I can say that, a nonprofit individuals or organizations, and let them connect with the people that live in their district.
Would anyone else like to address that question?
I would. You're right. During this pandemic this past year, the crime rate has been high. You would be surprised to know, though, the highest category of the crime rate has been domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how, as the city council or as the police department, you fend that off from the beginning. It's not like a robbery where if there is a pattern, you know places where you can be, or if there are, you know, hot spots where you can put people. We have seen more domestic violence cases this past year than ever. And it's not just in Fort Worth. It is across the country. And it is men and women in situations, children involved in those situations. So I don't know how you, as the council member, you police that, because I don't know that there's not a way to police domestic violence. You just don't want it to happen at all. But we shut, you know, everything down and put people at home, and we put people at home who potentially were already in bad situations. And so now you're in close proximity to each other all day long. We put people at home who then they lost their jobs. And so you are in close proximity to someone, and now you don't have an income coming in, and you were the breadwinner. And so now you're having to deal with, how do I pay rent? How do I pay utilities? How do I still keep, you know, keep my family going? And it has brought out all of these other things. And so my prayer is that this year looks nothing like it looked last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's my answer.
Okay, wow. Caller, does that answer your question, Donnell Ballard?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, it did.
Well, thank
you. Getting a full picture.
Thank you for calling in tonight. Listen, third question. I'm going to start off with Fernando. Our city council, along with the mayor and our city manager, they decide our city budget, tax rate, how the city is run.
Mm-hmm.
Based on your experience, what makes you qualified to make those decisions for our city?
Yeah, I would say what makes me qualified is the work that I've already been doing within our community. You know, I didn't just decide in 2021, hey, I'm going to run for city council. You know, I didn't grow up wanting to be in politics. This has been a progression, and that was encouraged by my community to do that, because everything I do is with my community. And as the city council person for District 9, come May, that's the same trajectory that I'm going to be having there as a city council person, is doing those decisions with the city council, so the community doesn't feel like these decisions are being done to them, but with them. You know? So I've done work in Fort Worth, from doing outreach to the homeless here in Fort Worth, to working at a couple nonprofits, to then working here as the president of Las Familias, the Rosemont Neighborhood Association, which is the largest Hispanic neighborhood association on the south side of Fort Worth, and historically one of the most disenfranchised. So just with that, we've been able to do work a lot of different things for our neighborhood, but I think that's the experience that you need to be on city council, work with different groups, work with the city, but also be able to make sure that it stays community-focused throughout those decision-making conversations.
Okay. Bob Willoughby, same question. Our city council and mayor and our city manager, they decide our city budget, our tax rate, and how our city is run. Based on your experience, what makes you feel that you're qualified to make those decisions for our city?
Well, in the last 8 years, watching how they work, I think anybody could run our city. I mean, actually, just being involved the last 8 years and having 30 years in business. I'm an entrepreneur. I started my own business back in 88. And it was real successful for 30 years, and it gave me – I learned a lot in that business. So, but, you know, the main thing that we're missing here in our city, it's not that hard. We have staff, and we have a lot of smart people on staff to help you out and keep us running. What we need is honesty. And then we can use that same staff with honesty, and I think we'll get a lot further, and we won't have so much money and some common sense. I think those are two things that are missing, and I believe I got most – I think I still got most of that. And I know I do have the honesty and the common sense, I believe. So I think that's all you really need now in our system. I'm afraid to say that's all you need to make it now, because it is really – I don't know how these people have been down to council meetings or what. I've been to over 60 of them in the last 8 years, and you really see a pattern and how things work, and it's not right. So, but anyway, I think I could do it. Anyway, I don't want to take up a lot of time. There's a lot of people on here that want to talk. And I like that question. I'd love for us to get back to the bond thing again in the near future here, if we have time later. Thank you, Carrie. I'm going to the next person if you like.
Okay, Marteza, I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name. Miss Jane.
No, you're okay.
I'm sorry. Same question. Our city council, along with our mayor, city manager, they decide, issues like our budget, our tax rate, and how our city is run. Based on your experience, what makes you feel that you're qualified to be a part of that process?
What makes me feel as though that I'm qualified for this process? I know I possess these qualities that Mr. Bob Willoughby already presented. I'm honest. I'm one that is willing to fight for the people. I have experience within this arena because I did these things back when I was in college in Austin, Texas, volunteering with the city council, being on the youth council board as far as getting students to be more involved in the changes that were taking place within their community. I know this to be like a second nature for myself. And this isn't something, as other candidates just stated, that I just woke up with overnight having aspirations to do. This has been something that has been festering me since I was at a young age, and this is something that I know that I will be good at, and it's something that I know that I want to do and that I'm passionate about doing. Budgeting, having boots in the ground, being the individual that's going to listen, and not just listen, but act on what it is that the people within the community are wanting to see done and wanting to see to take place. I know that myself, Marteza James, is that candidate to be the one to make the difference, and I already have those qualities. It's something that I've been trained for. It's something that I already know.
Gotcha. Irvin Thomas, same question.
Yes, I have many years of experience in multi-million dollar budgeting in corporations, operating facilities in multiple different locations, dealing with creative ideas to get things done when the money isn't always there. And I think with the COVID pandemic that's been around this past year, it's going to drastically impact the funding in Fort Worth. I haven't heard anybody speak on this yet, but I can see where a lot of businesses were shut down. Everything's kind of gone on to an online purchasing, but we're still having a lot of needs in the community. So we're going to have to bring about a budgeting process that brings logic to budgeting. We're not going to be able to budget the way it normally is in a city. And if we don't bring that to the city, it's going to be very damaging to the city.
Okay. Tanya Carter, same question.
I'm sorry for the delay. I'm here. What makes me a prime candidate to be able to work with council and city management? Was that the question?
Oh, let me quote, let me say the question again. Our city council, along with our mayor and city manager, decide our city's budget, our tax rate, and how our city is run. Based on your experience, what makes you feel qualified to make those decisions for our city?
Okay. As far as the budget, I've been an entrepreneur, and I've ran my own business. As far as the technical side of the actual budget, I must admit it's foreign to me, but I do understand the mechanics of it. I understand the need not to operate on cash flow and to have a reserve. I would take that same concept on to camp council. I would study the brief and delegate and disseminate the work, delegate the work to my aide to research and disseminate the information to the constituents for feedback and implementation, because I have that experience and the positions that I have held in Como MEC, Como Community Leaders, church groups, and private civic organizations. As far as taxes, I understand the need. See, previously, from being an entrepreneur and generating a six-figure income, and having children in private school and having to pay, school taxes when my children were at Fort Worth Country Day and was paying tuition, I understand the need for reduced taxes for schools, maybe in way of a voucher. I do understand the need for not raising taxes that would develop a hardship on the disenfranchised, but not overtax those who are already contributing to the system. And thirdly, the last one.
Okay.
I guess it was, okay, I've ran out of time. Okay, and then my life experiences, the total of my life experience qualifies me to sit on council, because I'm able to connect with the people that is diverse, multicultural, one that resembles today's Fort Worth and does not, embrace the mentality of the old Fort Worth way, but one of inclusion. Thank you.
All right. Ms. Gray, seeing that you have been on the council since 2012, we know that you've been a part of some of those decisions for being made for our city. Do you feel that the current leadership in downtown Fort Worth, including yourself, have made good decisions for our city since the time that you've been sitting on the council? As far as the
Absolutely. Budget
is concerned,
I
how the city is run?
I do. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a moment about the budget. When I first came to council, one of my things that I was really, really concerned about was how during 2008, 2009, 2010, that whole economic downturn, so many city services were cut. And those cuts actually negatively impacted our communities of color, especially communities on the east side, District 4, District 5, District 8 in particular. And so one of my very first things was a vote against the part of the budget that dealt with the water rate increase, because we hadn't talked about it to the citizens and making people aware of what was going on. Since 2014, since David Cook has been our city manager, we have actually lowered our property tax rate by 8 cents. So right now we're at 74.5 cents on our property tax rate. However, your property tax bills are still incredibly high because home values are high. And if you look at your property tax bills, it's not just the city of Fort Worth, it's school taxes, and your school taxes are the most expensive tax that you have. we, as the city of Fort Worth, as the mayor and the council, we have a fiduciary responsibility to the citizens of Fort Worth to bring in a balanced budget, a real budget, a living and breathing document that, although we approve it in September, mid-year, we have the ability to take a look at what's going on in the city and make changes to it, add things to it, take things away from it. And that is what we do every single year. There are times when that budget is rolled out during budget meetings and things that are on there, they come off, new things are added. Alleyway mowing is a big thing within the central city, especially Districts 8 and District 9 and District 2. And so that budget had been cut back so much that now that budget has been increased. And so there should not be one alleyway within the central city that is owned by the city of Fort Worth that is not mowed. And what I really appreciated this time, this budget cycle, was the rolling out of the budget meetings in town halls all across the city, doing them virtually, you know, having people up in person at City Hall and virtually. And I want everyone to understand, the city of Fort Worth is a city manager form of government. It is not a strong mayor form of government. So the city manager and the department heads, they are the creators of the budget. And then it comes to us as the mayor and the council for that discussion and presentation and rolled out to the citizens. And it 9 times out of 10, it is always changed. Since I've been on council, we have never taken a budget just the way it has been presented.
Okay, and Ms. Gray has got to get out of here at 8 o'clock, so we're going to ask her the next question first before she leaves us. Okay, that's it. Y'all ain't going to like this question, but here we go. Can you tell us why you are a better candidate for district or for your district? This is whoever district you're running at. We're talking about your specific district to each person on the line. You being in District 8, Ms. Gray, tell us why you are a better candidate for that seat than any of the other candidates running in that race.
So, Carrie, I get up and I go to work every single day to represent the citizens of District 8 and the city of Fort Worth. I tell everyone, and I said it from the very beginning, I'm doing my dream job. My sole job every single day is to make somebody's life better. And we do that every single day. This week I've hosted 3 different events, from a vaccination town hall. Tomorrow is the Mercy Clinic. And then we hosted a food pop-up, a food delivery pop-up with Community Food Bank. My job every day is to be out in the community talking, filling those voids, filling in and being places where my constituents need me to be. I'm not sitting on Facebook throwing rocks at anybody. I am very knowledgeable. I am well-read. I don't walk into that council chamber or sit on any virtual meeting without having read my council packet from front to back or any other thing. I ask the hard questions and I do the work. I'm not trying to be, it's not because being on council is for show. It is about being there and doing the work, and my constituents can always count on me to provide them with all of the information, to be transparent, and to be honest, even when it is an answer that you don't necessarily want, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to stand by you as my community members. I do what I say, and I say what I'm going to do. That's it.
Well, Mrs. Gray, thank you for being with us tonight, and I got you out of here on time. Good luck with your event tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Thank y'all.
Okay. All right, y'all, Fernando Parada has got to get out of here at 8:15. So the same question to you, sir.
Yeah, Carrie. So for me, it's our district, our city is ready for something different. We don't need another politician. We don't need people that aren't connected to our community. I've been boots on ground for the last several years, either working with our homeless community. I'm passionate. I'm young. I'm motivated. I'm willing to work with any group. I'm willing to work with the city to find solutions. I'm willing to bring our communities to the forefront of those conversations. I think when we look at all the candidates that are running in District 9, to look at the candidates and see who has been working boots on ground in our community for the last couple of years. And you won't find another one that has been doing that besides me. When we talk about getting $3.1 million to neighborhood improvement money in Rosemont, you know, to doing outreach to the homeless on Lancaster, all across our city. Like, the issues that our city is facing are issues that I have been able to work with different groups, different organizations, with the city, with different neighborhoods. You know, it's we need somebody that brings us those perspectives and that experience to city council. And I'm like, and two, like, you, the people that know me know that I'm super passionate, and I have no problem saying how it is, especially when it has to do with my community, my neighbors, and my family. And that's why we named Rosemont Las Familias de Rosemont, because everybody, we're talking about families here. And that's even running in this campaign. I don't call the people that are going to vote for me my constituents. I call them my neighbors, because that's what they are to me. We're all neighbors here. And they're all, those families are important to me, just like mine is. And what I'm trying to do is create a better district for all our families. But again, we need somebody who has done the work, been down there in the streets, under the bridges, in our community, speaking English and Spanish. Hello, because when we talk about, again, our district being primarily Hispanic, but we've never had a Hispanic city council person in the last, 10 years? Like, come on, it's time. We need something different, something real, something young, something fresh, and that's what I'm all about.
Okay. Martasia, can you tell us why you are a better candidate for District 5 than any of the other candidates or the incumbent?
Yes, ma'am, I can. I'm not for any bashing or putting anyone down, but candidate for District 5, because other than just being a product of this community, I've been doing this since 2008. And I know what it is that's going on over here, and I know what it is that people are complaining about over here. It's not even just complaints. I've taken the initiative to start petitions for movements over here, taking the into consideration what people want to see as far as difference over here. I've walked these streets and have seen what has not changed. And honestly, being a resident in this area, I am tired of seeing the same thing. And I want to see something different. And I feel as though, and I know that I am that difference that is able to come about and bring some difference in this area. And the reason that I say that I am the best candidate for this position is because I'm able to relate to the people in this district. Not only am I fighting to represent them, but I stay over here as well. And the changes I want to see, I know, are the changes that they want to see.
All right. Tanya Carter, you're over there in District 3. I believe the incumbent, where there is no incumbent in District 3, because Mr. Byrd is now running for mayor. So what makes you the better candidate amongst all the other candidates that are running for city council seat, District 3?
I briefly demonstrated that fact in the ability to get some street renovations complete due to the recent main breaks. And I demonstrated my savviness and my ability to be a team player, because I was side by side with my opponent, Mr. Michael Crane, and we arranged to have some detour signs properly placed in our community to keep, you know, the propensity for a risk. Also, I'm qualified. Hello?
Okay, somebody's giving a feedback. Is there a feedback? Somebody having a noise in their background? Okay, continue, Ms. Carter.
Continue, Carrie. Okay. Uh-huh. And so with that fact, I demonstrated that I'm able to work side by side with a real estate broker, as Mr. Kane is, even though, you know, that particular line of work, I feel it, I feel further disenfranchises the majority of the working class in Fort Worth, but I'm able to congeal and work as a team, because when on council, come on, I just can't represent Las Vegas Trail. I have to meet the needs and represent the constituency such as Bomber Heights and the residents of Fort Worth that are major wage earners in this city. Also, okay, what qualifies me to sit on council above all the rest that are running for District 3 council is I'm not removed or detached to the needs of those that are in lack and have lost hope, okay? I have the ability to listen, okay, and I have the ability to decipher the information as for in forms of needs assessment, okay, to connect those people who suffer with core issues to achieve greatness, okay, and store hope and get them actively participating in the process, because I have the ability not only to rally the masses, but I can understand. And everybody's not tech-savvy. The city of Fort Worth website is not used. Excuse me?
3 minutes, Ms. Carter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I can talk if I can't do anything else. I think I've said enough. The sum total of my life experience and everything that I have been through and overcome and rising up again, it qualifies me to sit on that council. Thank you.
All right. Irvin Thomas, same question. And Mr. Fernando, if you hold on for a minute, we're going to try to get the next question you to answer first. Irvin Thomas,
yes,
same
ma'am.
Question. Can you tell us what or why you are a better candidate than the other candidates that are running in District 7?
Well, I can't say for sure I'm a better candidate, but I will say I'm a more diversified candidate. What I mean by that is I started out a very poor family, grew up in a family of eight children. We all lived in a single room, all in bunk beds, and we were trained very young. If you wanted something, it was upon you to go out and make it happen. And so I have the empathy for the so-called down and outers. I understand what that's like. I can also work with high-powered people. I've worked with many, many CEOs of corporations and everywhere in between. So what this diversity does, if you look at District 7, it is that diverse. We go from downtown areas all the way out into these high rent districts, if you want to call it, with the large 1-2 acre lot estates, really. And so I have to represent a diverse population.
Okay.
And on top of that, we have to do it at a very cost-effective way. So whenever you look at District 7, it's probably the toughest of all of them to represent, because it has everything from the major corporations to the small single parent families. And my wife and I taught marriage classes for over 10 years, helping people understand how to deal with these situations that come up in the home. Is that 3 minutes?
I think so. But thank
okay.
you for your answer.
Well, I appreciate it. Okay,
sorry,
thank
go ahead.
You.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Bob,
well, thank
you.
I just think that's what it is.
Okay, okay. Bob Willoughby, same question. What makes you more qualified than the other candidates for City Council District 5 seat?
That's where I was going to put it. I'm not better, just more qualified, and it comes from time and determination and 8 years into knowing what's going on. Being at charter meetings, redistricting meetings, and that. And the main thing is that I know each end of my district from the north end to the south end real well. I've walked them, I've papered them, I know them, and it's a big difference between the north and the south of my district. Bivens is leaving the south end and moving to the north end where the money is.
Mm-hmm.
Fair, what's going on in this city, in our district, and that's our council member's job to balance this out. So anyway, from all the knowledge and everything, I believe I know what a council person's job is to ask the people and to serve and not dictate to them. So, and all the time I've spent working at it and all the money I spent over the last 8 years working at it, I think that makes me even more qualified than our incumbent, Gina Bivens. So, and I will answer questions where she won't. All right. How's that? Is that less than 3 minutes?
That'll do it.
All
Fernando,
right.
Since you got to get out of here at 8:15, we're going to give you the next 3 minutes. Can you tell us, if elected, what you plan to do day one?
Literally, day one is me scheduling meetings with different neighborhood associations, business organizations, especially our small businesses across our district, to make sure that I have quarterly meetings with these different groups, our faith-based groups, and making sure I'm keeping people up to date and I'm keeping my ear to the ground so I keep the pulse of all our communities across the district. That is day one. I want to make sure that is on the calendar as soon as possible so we can get these conversations going, these hard conversations that we need to have to be the best district that we can be for all our communities.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, sir, and thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you for having me, Carrie. You have a good night.
Y'all, listen, we're down to a four-man race on the panel tonight. Okay, next same question to, Tanya Carter. What are you going to do day one, if elected?
Excuse me, Carrie and radio audience. I'm working as I'm doing this radio show. Number one on my agenda, I would like to say when elected to City Council District 3, number one on the agenda, I would ask for a review, okay, for an independent redistricting task force. That would be number one on the agenda. And that task force would be one to include subpoena power, okay, and to allow districts to better organize and, turn in their maps, okay, and slow down this process. That's number one. That's what I would do, number one. Thank you.
Okay. Martasia, same question. What are you going to do day one if elected?
Well, I do know that they already have a plan, even if elected, 6 months out. But moving forward, I would like to go ahead and put in place my projects that I already have. I want to see the fact that I'm already out and about, feet in the ground as far as seeing and what it is that's residents are wanting to see as far as change within the community. I already know what to bring forth. That means programs for at-risk youth. That means building relationships with the community and the police, allowing citizens to know who their NPO is, and going forth what it is that I've already promised that I'm going to do. I know that they already have a schedule set and plan already, so I have to abide by what's already written in stone, but once that is done, Martasia is walking out the door.
Gotcha. Okay, same question to you, Mr. Thomas. Day one, what are you
going to
do?
Day one, I would take my district anything related to my district in the budget, I would review that. I would review it with the specific organizations inside the city that have input to that. I want to find out why they're making the decisions they're making. I want to take them and see if we can steer them through citizen involvement to clarify how they're operating in our district better, because that's one of the things I see is there's very little interface between the city and the citizenship. And my goal day one is to bring that tighter, and not only from the city council, but also all the operating groups inside of the city, the streets department, the works departments, every piece of the city. I want to bring it and put a symmetry to it so they're not operating as independent operations. I want to bring it all into a symmetry, into a smooth operation, and bring it all within budget, and then see what we can do with using public-private partnerships, go out into the industry and see if we can find people that can help our city expand its budget without expanding tax base. Because if we expand tax base, that affects everybody, even the single-parent family, and that's a negative. So let's see if we can make this city more prosperous by working with the people in the city.
Okay. Bob Willoughby,
yeah,
elected, what are you
going to
do?
Okay. Are you talking about the when you're just elected or after you take office? You take office in June, I think, and you're elected on May 1. If it's May 1 or after we're elected, I would think the first thing I would do is be having the present aide to Councilmember Bibbin filling us in and what's going on, what's happening then to get a familiar with what's happening at that point, and then make adjustments or decisions. And then you, once you're familiar with that pretty much, then I would think holding meetings all through my district, opening it to the people to come out and let them know where we're at, what's going on, and which way to go, because it's our district. It's not the government's, it's ours. So I think that's where I'd start at, but I have a list of things personally that I would do with the homeless and, like I said, I've got a list of things. And things, one thing would be good. It wouldn't cost us anything to do this, and I'm still working on this stuff even if I don't get elected. And one is I'd like to see the citizens' presentation moved to the top of the agenda. This will help hold council members in place, because if you have 100 people down there and all these people for zoning have to wait, council's not going to look good. And if they're doing a good job, you won't have that many people in front of zoning, and the zoning people won't be held up. And that's why they put the presentation at the bottom. And that way they get away with what they get away with. Put that at the top. Just simply doing that would put the people back in charge of the city. So there's a number of things. But number one, see what Gina's done and with her aid, and see where we're at there to get informed. And then also bring that to the public immediately with whatever ideals and what to do with that. That's where I'd start at.
Okay. Next question, y'all. What platform are you running on? What are your campaign promises to your district? Let's start with you, Martasia. What are your promises to District 5 if elected?
My main focus as far as the promise that I do have is being the voice for District 5.
Okay.
Not only just taking their questions and concerns down, but actually acting on those questions and concerns. Oftentimes, we recently just went down to city council to fight against getting more trucking companies built or placed within the Echo Heights area. And it was something just to be a part of that. I do apologize. Stop the beeping.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Do you mind if I hear the question once more?
What's your platform? What platform are you running on? What are your campaign promises to District 5 if elected?
My promises, the platform that I'm running on is redeveloping, restoring our community, and being the voice for the community. As I just stated, we recently just went down to city council to fight against there being more trucking companies coming into the Echo Heights area. That's what I am about
being there, being about the actions. Petitions were taken, pictures were taken, slideshows were made. Signing up to be able to speak on the agenda for that night was made. And that's what I plan on doing, being that voice, but not only just being that voice, but being that person who's going to work hard to bring about the change that I'm committed to bringing in the area. We're developing our community by building up this District 5 area. We often see how going towards in the northern part of the District 5 area is built up, is beautified. A lot of people like to go up there, but then you come back over here to the Stop 6 Echo Heights area, and all you see is that it looks as if we've been neglected. I plan to bring that attention and bring awareness to that and redirect and redevelop the community in that way.
Okay. Bob Willoughby, what's your platform? What are your promises to the people of District 5 if elected?
Oh, just honesty and to serve. That's what we need. That's the main things that are missing right now is a city council that will answer questions, which is the premise of the job. And right now we have council members that don't answer any questions. And that would be the first thing before we can get anything done is to find out what the public wants, what's the most important thing. And like I say, my own personal thing is how to save money. I know how to do that by not wasting it on things like the golf course and stuff like that. But anyway, first thing, like I say, it's so simple. The main thing is the honesty is what's missing more than anything. The honesty and the open transparency, that is missing more than ever. But like I say, also before we can get elected, we're going to have to get more people to vote. That's something we're going to have to really work on. And because right now we're at 4%, and that's really a crisis. So, but anyway, the first thing, I mean, that's my platform would be honesty, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not much of a platform, but it's all we need now right now is we need without it. We don't have anything, I believe. I don't think that we have anything until we get real honesty in. So I think that's the number one thing, and that's what's missing, you know. It's missing all through our whole system of life. Watch how many TV commercials you believe that are honest. I mean, really, everywhere you turn. So it's just everywhere. So I'd like to see in District 5, that's why I carved out this area to work on. It's enough, you know, and just try to work on our own backyard here and clean it up first before you yell about anything. And the number one thing I've been down at city council many times, the number one thing that's missing, like I said, is honesty and respect for people and moral values and that. So, and that's what's really the main thing, a person we need on the platform. If we'd had honesty in the beginning, I wouldn't even be running. If my councilmember would answer questions, I wouldn't be running. But I have reasonings and issues why I'm running, and I'll still be working on these issues even after this election and on up to the next one. I'll still be working on the issues because that's our obligation. We all have an obligation to serve our city, whether we're running or not running. We all have a bit of an obligation anyway. Did that answer the question, maybe?
Okay, I said that.
All right,
thank you. Urban Thomas. What's your platform? What are you running on? And what are your plans for your district if elected? What are your promises to your district?
My number one priority is correcting large infrastructure issues in District 7. The recent storm has really shown how much work needs to be done. Having large sections of District 7 out of water and electricity, and I know the electricity was statewide. There are other things that we can do locally, but specifically the water and having that to be an issue. We had people in District 7 that were out of water for 2 weeks. This is unacceptable in any event. So, working directly with the infrastructure is my highest priority. Second one is roadways and better planning for roadways. District 7 is growing very rapidly with thousands of homes being put in off of feeder roads that are two-lane roads with construction traffic that these roads were never built to go on. And it's destroying the roadways out here. And there needs to be some relationship that the developer has to be responsible for these roadways that they're literally destroying because of the developments they're putting in. And the third is kind of related to being the voice of my constituents, my population base, because everything has changed last year. People that were working and driving to work are now working out of their house, and they have children that are not going to school all the time or having other issues, and they're having to deal with private issues publicly. And this is a problem. It's creating what someone else talked earlier about with these domestic violence cases. And I believe that there is some need for family and relationship training in our schools. I believe that this is really a fallacy, that we're not teaching our kids how to relate properly. We put them in front of a computer, put them on headsets, put them on an iPad, and they are getting no – okay. But they're not getting any social skills. So we need to address that.
Thank you. Tanya Carter, what is your platform? What are your promises to District 8?
Basically, my promise to the constituency of District 3, okay, is to be a voice, to the voice that is silent, ignored, and often not attended. My promise to the constituency in District 3 would be one of inclusiveness and inclusion, okay, with the residents of our city and that of the developers, okay, in the development of our city, for the betterment of our city, for all, mainly transportation and revitalization of streets and sidewalks and things of that nature, as Kelly Allen Gray discussed earlier. My promise, I can't really make any promises, but I can make some assurances because I haven't familiarized myself all the way with everything on the city planning and zoning committee's 3 to 5 year projection. But what I would like to assure, okay, once gaining access of that information and having the privy to disseminate, like all the candidates on the panel seem to be in line with, just be transparent, disseminate the information out, and for me particularly make sure, okay, that the percentage of the minority contractors, okay, are given, all right? And I would like to encourage all who are in a position of hardship to be able to pull themselves up at that hardship along with big development of the city and give them information about contractors' license, surveyors' license, and things of that such. So when the transportation part comes into play, everybody will be in position to have a sustainable income. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Carter. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Talk Fort Worth. If you have a question or a comment tonight, I have been giving out the wrong number, and I do apologize. Please call in at 516-387-1981. If you're listening by computer right now, you can see the number at the top of your screen. Again, the number is 516-387-1981. I think I was initially giving out Bob Willoughby's own show, and so I do apologize for that. We're going to go to the phone lines. We see 817-521 on the phone lines. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Loving the show and learning so much. This is Antonio Twin Harris. I'm also a candidate. One of the things I want to ask the panel is, knowing that we must get others registered, what would be more attractive and how can we get them registered to the polls and more involved in city council and politics as a whole?
I'd like to take
Would you
that
like
question.
To address that to anybody in particular?
Hello?
Okay. Whoever
yes.
would like to
I'll
answer.
Take on that question.
Okay.
Yes, Marjorie James. I would say what I have been doing, because I'm not certified as a voting person, and what I've been doing is letting people know about the registration. If I do so happen to have one, I give it to them. I don't fill it out, and I don't tell them how to fill it out, but I let them know as far as the deadline, the deadline when voting is coming up, what they can do, how to prepare, and I try to educate them on how to vote and where they can go vote as far as the location. But I feel as though we can get more people involved in being a part of this if we just take it to the street, make this something that everybody is aware of, allow them to know what's going on, and not just let them know, well, voting is coming up. But what voting is coming up? What is this election for? You know, be more personal with it.
Okay. Anybody else like to address that question?
Yes, I would. I appreciate Antonio's twin for calling in with that question. That was a good one. I believe what you do is you need to inform people more. They don't know what's going on in this city. 96% of this city is not voting in this local election. They do not know, and most of them are like zombies and will not move until something affects them directly, and that's what I've learned in 8 years. It's hard to. So that's why I'm doing candidates in the park. I'm trying to paper the houses, about 1,000 houses in the neighborhood, and I have a trailer and equipment, PA, and inviting people out to learn about our city, you know, and I'm taking it to them, okay, and trying to get them out. I don't know if that's a work or not, but I think this is one of the things. Another thing would help, especially out of that bond money, another thing that would make money, bond money. We need 4 billboards in this city, one each way of north and south and east to west of downtown, that can advertise when we're having bonds and redistricting and charter and elections and when you can sign up for election and when election date is. You notice Gina Bibbins, she puts up a billboard when she's running for office because billboards work is why. But the city doesn't put them up to tell us about multi-million-dollar projects and us to have a decision on. And that is something we need to do. And if we let more people know and educate more people what's going on in the city, maybe we'll get more participation. I can't guarantee, but if anybody knows a better way, I'll jump in and help you with it. But the candidates are also welcome to come out to it's on my website, fwdistrict5.com. I plan on doing every park that I can up to election time. And most unfortunately, most of them have been, the weather's been bad, but this the one tomorrow looks very good. The weather looks pretty nice and all that. So it's on my website. Anybody's welcome to come out and participate. So what I would do is try to get the people involved out of their houses in their neighborhood and let them know what's going on in this city and how much money we're wasting, like adding 2 more council members on the strength of 1%. This is a waste of $250,000 a year. And
well, Bob, can you tell them what park that is tomorrow and what time?
That will be at the, let's see here. I got it right here. If I can just hit that button right quick. I don't even know where I'm going tomorrow. How do you like that? Let's see. Oh, they're all at 2 o'clock. We do them all at 2, and the way I've got it laid out is 2 to 2:30, you can meet and greet, and then we'll have introduction of candidates, and then respond to any and all questions. That's the thing. That's why a lot of candidates
won't come.
It's Eastbrook.
Pleasant Mount Gilead Baptist Church.
This one's at Eastbrook. It's Eastbrook Park. And it's easy to Google and find that with no problem on Google there. So we'll be at tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Thank you, Carrie.
All right, y'all. Lucy.
Yeah, I'd like to answer that question as well, if I could answer that. I think there's a huge breakdown in communication from the city. I agree with the previous candidate on that. The way I would do it is there are ways you can get free money on TV stations. A lot of people don't really know this, but you can get free advertising on TV stations. I believe that visual campaigns, social media campaigns, we live in a society today that is about media. They're media-driven. and I come from the media line. So I believe what we need to do is we need to develop a media branch for the city to communicate to the citizens and tell them what it is through social media, through television, radio, public service ads. There's any number of ways. Billboards are great. They do work. But that only works in the area where the billboard. Social media, video, that works everywhere. And it's easy to push to every computer, phone in the city. It's easy. And it's cost effective. So I think that's one way that the city could actually improve its communication.
I think
May I respond to that?
Sure, go ahead.
May I make a point on that real quick, if I can?
Sure.
He's very much right about that. The water bill has a information in it called the Times Leaflet, which is like really a waste of money because someone looks at it. But antenna TV is free. The city should have a channel on there as well as they do on Charter, like the last candidate is saying. So, anyway, that's all. I just wanted to bring that in.
I will say this, that Anthony said today on another forum, and I found it very interesting because she's been on the council for quite a while and is currently running for mayor. She said that this city does not really, and I'm paraphrasing here, y'all, so forgive me, but the gist of it was that this city does not really encourage people to go out and vote. So if you wonder why 96% of the people really aren't voting, it's probably because the city does not encourage people to go out and vote. That's just I'm paraphrasing, but that's what I took from what she said today. So, you know, there you have it. But thank you, Twin, for calling in tonight. Okay, y'all, listen. Next question. We know after the Tatiana Jefferson shooting, you know, there seemed to be a really serious break between the community and the police department. That said, you know, a lot of people, you know, felt like, you know, we had situations, okay, somebody's got some noise in their background, and I'm going to ask them to please mute it if at all possible. Okay, let's see if this isolates the noise. Okay, I think I did. Okay, so after the Tatiana Jefferson shooting, many went down to the city council, and they complained about police brutality, and they said that they were fearful of the police and that, you know, something needed to be done. That said, if elected, do you have plans that you feel could help with the police and, what I said, building a better bond between the police and the community, where the community feels safe again with our police department? So we will start with you, Bob Willoughby.
Okay. I wasn't ready to be first. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. A better plan for the, between the community and the police? Is that the main point of the question? I'm sorry.
Let me rephrase the question again.
Go ahead.
After the Tatiana Jefferson shooting, a lot of people went down to the city council meetings, and they began to say, you know, there was too many cases of police brutality, and they wanted something to be done so that the people of the city of Fort Worth would feel safe again. So if elected, do you have any plans on working on better relations between the people and the police department so, again, that the people feel safe in the city?
Yes, that would be one of the top things to be working on, too. Like you said, if you get elected, that'd be one of those first priority things. And, well, another thing, one thing that's going on in this city right now is our growth is exceeding our income big time. We can't get caught up on police if we keep adding 20,000 people a month into here. There's no way. It takes 3 years for an officer on the streets to become not a rookie. That is a very hard job. And the way the police officers are, who wants that job? And we do have bad police and we have good police. What we have is a bad city council and a bad manager. We're over, open records will say we're 45 understaffed. Any city, the number one, two departments that should never be understaffed is your fire department and police should never be understaffed, okay? Anybody that works in a factory or knows that when the people come in late or don't work, it puts a load, it puts stress on and stuff like that. And in this job, we don't need that. But the real number I'm getting is that from reliable sources that we're over 200 officers understaffed, for one thing. Mm-hmm. And we're not ever going to build a college. And that makes sense. People are coming. They're building more apartments bringing in more people than we can handle. That's why we have rolling blackouts with electrical. If we had less people here during that time that our grids could handle it, we wouldn't have rolling blackouts. Growth is okay, but it has to be balanced. And this is not balanced. City Council has sold us out completely. They sold out my area when they were doing those big rezoning, 460 properties at a time. But that's the main thing is that we've got to slow down on our growth and get our economy, our income to match our growth is the first thing. We've got to slow it down somehow or another. They've got it running like a snowball until we get it slowed down and balanced out. So we need more police officers first and meetings with people. And I guess with a real manager and a real mayor, we don't need a police oversight board. We don't need one. These people will do the job if they're right. If we have the mayor and the manager that's right, that will fire police chiefs that are not doing a job, just knowing right from wrong, and then we don't need it. So number one thing is make sure we got a good mayor and a good city manager that will hold the departments, all departments, but the police too, and that will help make relationships better with the citizens, I believe, if you know you have honest officers working. And then also they're not under stress because they're understaffed. So I hope that answered the question, maybe. That's my point of view on her.
Okay. Did I understand you to say you don't feel that we need a review board? Is that what you said?
If we have a mayor and a manager first,
okay.
If we have a real mayor and manager, there's no need for a police association, an oversight board, because they will have a real officer. The chief will be doing his job. That's oversight. Okay. The chief's job is oversight the police, not another board. It's not necessary. This comes in because we had bad management at the top, so people are yelling that way instead of at the mayor. And that's the root of it. The mayor and the manager first. That's their jobs to make sure this is running right. So, no, and it's the same way we don't need we don't need a lot of things when we have a real mayor and a manager first, okay? And that's honesty that will lay it on the table. So that's our number one things right there that we need. But without them, then, yes, we need a police oversight, okay? So,
I got you. Okay, Tanya Carter, same question.
Yes, I would like my change, please.
Yeah.
Okay, I would like to add to that. Yes, a better culture of a better. I have a mask on. Excuse me, y'all.
Okay.
For number one, in order to have a better relationship with police and community, we need to wipe out the present-day culture of the police officers within the Fort Worth Police Department, the way they view certain populace in the community. We need, I believe, education and multicultural diversity training program for all candidates entering into the police department and hands-on. More hands-on, the community informed in ways of town hall meetings, okay, in the way of recruiting, bring back programs. I graduated high school in the 80s, and I had programs where you can be junior cadet. And it's my understanding these programs are still around, but they're not visible. I haven't, seen it in my community, and I've been across Fort Worth, and I haven't viewed them in other communities as well. Also, as it relates to the police department, I'm for an independent police review board. I applaud the present police chief in his firing and investigation of those that have racist posts on Facebook and comments, because, again, that is a perfect picture of the mentality of that particular, officer. And just to sum it up, I know I have 3 minutes. This week, I participated with a protest group, Enough is Enough. I'm a community liaison, news media blog, Come On Action News Today. And they were still demanding, okay, a court date, trial, or even a conversation, okay, with Sharon Wilson. The protesters were not allowed entrance
to the building. So simple communication with police officers, police chiefs, district attorneys, where they would view our constituency in the district, even those that do not, contribute money, like a police union and individuals to their campaign, all right, and then represent us accordingly, not without bias.
Thank you. Martasia, same question. What would you do if elected to bridge this bond between police and the citizens, where they feel safe again, where the citizens of Fort Worth feel safe again?
Thank you. What I would say is that we need to establish a relationship. Like the other candidates stated before, there's a lot of animosity that's going on between the community and the police, which needs to be at peace. From even the police going about posting the insensitive racial remarks of the post that he made about the young man being in a casket, that isn't anything to joke about. And the fact that he felt as though that it was something to joke about, it put the people within the Fort Worth community on edge. We need to go back and reestablish a secure and a growing relationship between the people and the community. That means police going to the schools and developing relationships with students that are residing in our area. Allowing them to know that all policemen aren't bad policemen, that they can one day still grow up to be a policeman, although the police reputation actually precedes them as far as what's already taken place before them. What I would also like to say is that we need to bridge the gap as far as connecting with policemen who are trying to do the right thing and not use the, what is the word I'm looking for, and not continue to use bad police, all police, because not all policemen are bad.
I agree. Mr. Thomas, next same question. What would you do to bridge the gap between the citizens of Fort Worth and the police department where the citizens here feel safe again?
Yeah, I believe this is a bottom-up issue. We've been talking about top-down issues with the review boards and different leadership, and true, the leadership needs to be held accountable. But the bottom-up procedure would be to have ride-alongs where you have civil leaders do ride-alongs in different areas of the city. So, like if from District 7, I would go to District 3 or District 5 and ride along with the police down there. Not only the you'd have school leaders, you'd have all these different leaders of the community. So I believe part of the problem is the community does not see the police the way the police see the police or the way the police see the community. There's an issue when you have one person looking up and one person looking down. The person at a higher plane will see a wider berth. But if the person looking up is feeling covered, they're not going to be able to see. So what they need to do is we need to lift the people up and bring the police down a little bit and put them all onto a common playing field. And I believe if we could work it from a bottom-up mentality, hold the civic leaders and the police together responsible to have responsible policing, the same in the fire department. And the other thing is I'm not a big proponent of unions in police and fire, because I believe, number one, it takes the responsibility off of the person who is either the fireman or the policeman and puts it onto the union. So okay, they don't feel as responsible to the population.
Absolutely.
They're shielded. So I believe this is a way of it, and it's not an easy situation to bring all this into a harmonious situation, but I believe it has to be done.
I agree. 3 minutes, Mr. Thomas. We got two callers we need to get to. And if you could, callers, please make it brief. 682-438. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. 682-438. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Good evening. Yes.
Hello?
Yes, we're listening. Good evening.
Yes. Good evening. I guess my name is Ricardo Avitia.
Yeah.
And I'm also running for City Council District 9.
Okay.
I've been listening to a lot of the conversation that's been going on tonight, in and out, unfortunately, because I haven't had a chance to sit down the whole time. But security, policing is definitely an issue that needs to be spoken of. I do believe that what the young man earlier was saying about, you know, having more civil engagement.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, though, I do also believe that more police training is also a viable or an imperative part of the solution. The reason why is because in the military, there's rules of engagement just like there is in the police force, and unfortunately the police force engagement rules of engagement are not the same as the military's rules of engagement, too, whereas the rules of engagement in the military, you have to be shot at first before you can shoot back. And mm-hmm. in the police force, the rules of engagement are if you feel threatened, then you shoot. So if we're going to be equipping our policemen and police women with military-style weapons, then we need to have a little bit more training for those types of weapons in those types of situations. And unfortunately, that's not being talked about right now. So that's one of the issues that I believe that needs to be brought to the table, along with, you know, more information dissemination within the neighborhoods and the residents. The city of Fort Worth believes that.
What did you say your name was?
Ricardo Avitia, ma'am.
Okay, I see. I reached out to you. You had no email or phone number. Can you give me an email contact after the show?
Yes,
can you contact me on Facebook? I would like to invite you to come back on one of the shows. We got to go because we're almost out of time, but I would like for you to reach out to me on Facebook. I'd like to book you for one of the upcoming shows.
Well, definitely, please. What is your name? I'm sorry. I don't have you on. I'm not on Zoom right now. I'm on the phone. So I don't know who I'm speaking with. I'm sorry.
This is Carrie Hines. I don't know how. Are you on Facebook? Are you on social media at all?
No.
Oh
yes,
wow.
I am. I'm sorry. I don't mean to take everybody's time. My name is Ricardo Abiti. I apologize. I saw the number, and I don't know who I'm speaking with. So please forgive me for.
Okay, I will find you. I'll tell you what. I'll find you this week.
So
okay. Thank you for.
Yes, ma'am. Have a great day.
Good luck with your race. We're going to go to 314-381. Good evening. You're on Let's Talk Fort Worth. We only have a few minutes. Can you give us
your question? Good evening, Carrie.
Good evening.
I was listening to the conversation and on the issue of the police, and someone made mention about starting from the ground. There's a culture today that don't respect authority.
Mm-hmm.
It's not respected in the household. We see incidents where it's not respected in the schools. Then, of course, it's not respected in the street. And a lot of onus is being thrown on the police. But there's a thing of cause and effect. People have to teach their young children, and it should already be going, being that you're a parent, they have to respect authority. Also, you're older, you don't have court on the street, and comply. I mean, simple instructions, comply. When they're doing an investigation, they have to restrain you. It ain't saying that you are guilty, but they have to restrain you and comply. And you know, Carrie, we see a lot of YouTube, and I know Ferguson very well, the incidents that led up to that. People today is in a culture where they just don't want to comply or respect authority. So let's start with programs getting back to the children and hopefully it's going on at home. But in a lot of cases, it surely is not going on in the schools, and we see what happens when it reaches the streets. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Bianchi. And Bianchi calls from down there around the Ferguson area where the Mike Brown situation took place. Y'all, we're going to go to 817-526. If you would, really quickly, in the next minute or so, give me your question or your comment. 817-526. Welcome to Let's Talk Fort Worth.
All right. Michael Caceres, running for City Council, District 3. And I wanted to make some comments there on the discussion with the police. There's some stuff that I agreed on, some stuff that I'm doing. So first of all, I think we need to get back to how things were when I was a kid. You know, I'm 41 years old. We used to have McGruff on the television set. Police officers, you know, would come out to the carnival. Those types of things really help within the community. They don't cost any money. I think we could partner with an organization like Blue Zones, which is great, you know, providing health and wellness here, and maybe have like a day where we work out with the cops or we eat breakfast with the cops. And then additionally, if we want our police officers to be better trained at unarmed manipulation of people they have to work with, then we need to fund that. And if we're not able to fund it, you know, what about some community martial arts experts out here that might be able to help out with some jiu-jitsu training or anything like that, you know, where you can, and I know from experience, being in martial arts myself and a green belt in the Marine Corps martial arts program, that it's helpful when you need to approach a situation but you don't want to cause the most harm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, listen, wow, thank you for calling in tonight. And I'm going to reach out to you. I'd like to book you on a future panel.
All right. Okay. Are there snacks?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, and good luck with your race. Okay, y'all, listen, we got to wrap it up. Mike, panel tonight, I want you to tell me in the next 30 seconds or so, each one of you tell me final comment. We're going to start with Martasia. Final comments, Ms. Jane.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Final comment. Tell them why they ought to vote for you, what race you're running in.
Oh, no, I just couldn't hear what you were saying. I stepped inside somewhere and I lost connection. But my name is Martasia James.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Martasia James. I am running for City Council District 5, and I would like you to vote for me because I am a young person who understands what it is that we need to change within our District 5. From a young age, I've been volunteering, cleaning up. I've orchestrated outreach programs and developed programs as well. I volunteer, and I have the experience. I'm not coming just because I decided to do this yesterday. This has been something that's been instilled in me since I had a young age. I'm asking for your vote. Early election is April 19th to the 27th, and election day is May 1st. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Good luck with your race. Tony Clutter. Good evening. Final comment.
Yes. Okay, again, my name is Tanya Carter, District 3, Fort Worth City Council. I hope to that you will vote for me and give me an opportunity to serve you as your city council person. I have the passion, I have the ability, I have the wherewithal, and most of all, I have the integrity, not only for the to represent those that are silent, ignored, and often unattended, but I have the ability to work with contingent and development and great communication skills and respect for authority. Thank y'all. Achieve greatness, name placement, two on the ballot.
Okay, Irvin Thomas. Final comments in 30 seconds or less, please, sir.
Well, first off, Kerry, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be part of this panel tonight. And I'm looking forward to helping the city grow into the new city that it has to become. With COVID, with the lockdowns, with the recreation of Fort Worth. Because I believe we need to recreate Fort Worth. It's not a...
Well, we got to go.
Listen, not no, the same way that it used to be. But, okay, thank you for having me, and appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Nice being on the panel with y'all.
Thank you. Y'all, we got to get out of here. If you like what we do here on Let's Talk Court Wars, please feel free to advertise with us. FYI, candidates, we are running paid political ads here. If you'd like to advertise with us here on Let's Talk Fort Worth, reach out to me at letstalkfortworth@aol.com. Also, y'all, listen, Election Day is May 1st. Let's all get out and vote. Good night. See you next Friday, same time. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.